This time, I'd like to introduce Jimmy Kinnon, if you would, please.
Well, it's not my music. I'm not going to sing. My name is Jimmy Kinnon. I'm an addict and an alcoholic. Everybody comfortable?
Yeah.
I remember the time none of us were comfortable. I'm not going to talk too much tonight. I never do when I get up here. About the history of Narcotics Anonymous. There's one thing, however, before I get into anything I'd like to say. It's only a pleasure to be here and for so many of you tonight. Well, there's a man in this room tonight who was at the first NA meeting with me 23 years ago, a little over 23 years ago. It's the first time he's been at an NA affair of this kind. He's neither an addict nor an alcoholic. But because of circumstances that we can't foresee, any of us in our time, at a later date in his life, and in mine, and in yours, he had something to do with carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous in areas where you and I couldn't go, where you and I couldn't be. He carried the message of recovery in Southeast Asia and in West Europe. I want to mention that if there's any of you fellows who went through any of the amnesty houses in Vietnam or any of the recovery houses in Western Europe, you may have met them then, and I hope you'll renew your acquaintance with them. And I'd like just for a minute to ask my oldest son to stand up and take a bow. Nor should in a time like this to realize that we can be together. That we no longer have to be alone. That we're alienating from other people. From loneliness and being by ourselves is no longer necessary. I read something in an apartment. It struck me the first time I read it, and I thought it'd be fine to open what I have to say with it. It very simply says, it was written by somebody anonymously, so who they were, I haven't the slightest idea. But to me, it exemplifies some of the things that AA has stood for, and NA has stood for since the beginning of both our fellowship. It says, I know that I cannot enter all you feel, so bear the burden of your pain. I come to offer what my love can bring. The strength of caring, which I do in quiet ways, that on your lonely path, you may not walk alone. I think most of us walk that lonely path. And after 25 years ago, it was not only the lonely path, it was the path to death. Because addicts did not recover. Even in AA, addicts did not recover. Except in rare cases. Among the reasons that NA came together by a group, small group of people 23 and a half years ago was because we saw the addicts getting lost. We saw the hope shine for just a brief period of time, and then it was gone. And we always felt that this program, since it was based in principles, would work. And we got together to try to formulate something that hadn't been done before. Something that we knew would work. And with the help of the members of AA, we started what we now know as Narcotics Anonymous. For 7 years, the touch and go. The many things I could tell you about those years. We'll hear them on tape one of these days. We neither have the time right now, nor do I think it's the right time to go into many of the things that happened. But then they fluctuated between nothing and something, and nothing and something. But the last 7 years, because of being a one-man rule, and they died. And we had to start again. In 1959, with the original ideas that we had, that the traditions were as much a part of the program as were the steps to the individual. And since that time, we've been growing in numbers and strength. We had what we used to call the rabbit meeting. We never knew whether we could trust the police department or not. Although it was true that they kept their word and they did not watch it. There was no surveillance at any time. But in the beginning, we were not quite sure. And so this week we would meet at my place, and next week we'd meet at your place, and next week we'd meet at his place, and the newcomers who would come around were always afraid to come in. They were never sure whether they were walking into something or not. So it kept them going for a while, but many funny things also happened. We're pretty often in Southern California about many things. Thank God, and they really started here, in the way we know it. I don't think it could have happened anywhere else. We just refused to remain hidden. Other groups had started, and they all remained hidden. We realized in the beginning that to hide was not recovery. I'm glad as years go by that we're not ashamed to be what we are. And to take clearly and completely what we're trying to do. And to say what we have accomplished. The reason we go into the past at all is only that we may learn the lessons of the past. If we don't heed the lessons of the past, we'll fall into the same mistakes again. And then the future will hold no promise to people like you and I. We will die again. I've said many times in the past, it's something I'm going to say again, because it seems to bear out what I've always felt about this fellowship. The whole thing has been a learning experience, both in the individual sense and in the fellowship sense. I've always been very highly idealistic, and I find out many other addicts are too, sometimes to the point of illusion. I learned many years ago in reading, as I do, many things. But emotions are deep and strong, and the words that float on the surface are like a passing dream that betrays where the anchor is hidden. And this poet told me to cling to my beliefs and to what the world called illusion. And many times in the past, he started to die again, and I had to hang on to the idea that the dream is worthwhile, that addicts could live and could recover and could grow and could go where they were supposed to go, to walk like real men and women in a real world. In the past 15 years in particular, we have seen this happen. I've said before, and I'll say one more time, a man without a dream is only half a man. And the fellowship without a vision is a farce. But in NA, we've combined our dreams and made our vision come true. And we can stand up now and be counted. We no longer have to hide. It's like a hope that as time goes on, and the future still proves right, that we will be able to grow faster and stronger and wider than we have today. And we are growing. And we are around the world many times. I got a letter this afternoon from a man I never met. And he said, please send us some more booklets right away. starting another group in Victoria Beach, Colombia. And the people are looking for help and they're accepting help in our group. It's beautiful.
Usually I'm not going to follow these notes, you know.
I get too serious at times like this because I remember what it used to be like. I also know what it will be. As long as we follow these 12 steps of our program as we know it, then they will be a living thing every day. And we'll seldom have to go into the past except to advance ourselves. One particular thing I always mention, what we learned the hard way, is that there are no bosses in Narcotics Anonymous. There are no big shots here. We must keep it that way. Not because we will not accept direction so much. We will accept direction. But we will not be told what to do. I haven't changed in that regard yet. I will not be told what to do. I will judge for myself, and I will make my own decisions, and then I'll stand on my own 2 feet. And I'll stand up and be counted if they all are against me. It makes little difference to me. When I'm right, I'm right. And I'll stick with it to the second thing. I learned in this program to be self-reliant. A lot of people think that's a dirty combination of words. That's what this program teaches us to be. To be self-reliant, because we know from where comes our power. Because each of us has our own higher power as we understand it. But thank God again, you and I have another power to work in our fellowship. And it's the same for all of us. And isn't that a beautiful thing that we can have the best of both worlds? And what we have within each of us is our own definition of our own belief and a power greater than ourselves. Call it God if you will. But together, we have a power that is much greater than all of us. And this is the power of service to another human being. So that we can offer what we know from our experience to be a reality. And that we have in common. And that is what keeps us together most of the time, regardless of our individual beliefs. The 12-step work is done in many ways. And some of the best people that I know in the program are those who listen to fools like me. Okay? They listen while we talk, and they are doing better 12-step work than we are. And most of them are the ones behind the scenes that you don't see. See the work. There's a lot of work to be done. A lot of people sitting in this room tonight are doing a lot of work that is unseen. But that is the spiritual foundation of our program. Anonymity. To do something without asking for, or looking for, or accepting. A reward in the normal, usual sense of the word. Yes, we get our rewards in our own way. We get sobriety. We get peace of mind. We get self-respect. But above all, to get back and to give out. I throw out a word that most of us didn't know when we got there. Very simply, it's love.
Jack, I'll leave you some time to talk, but I enjoy listening to you. That one can go through. And that one. Pretty soon there's going to be a tape out that tells the story of
the beginnings of N.A. If you want to know something about it, you better get a tape and listen to it. I don't like to delve into the past in that regard at a time like this, because I know it's too important to have the fun that we're going to have tonight. I look forward to the latter part of the evening. I've enjoyed it all the way through, and I intend to enjoy the rest of it. A language I have to say the same as I always am. Everything I have to say in N.A. It's about me in a way. Because what I have come to know while journeying far, how happy it is to found in simple things. The Sabbath stillness of a late afternoon, and the title, Silver Sack, New to Me. Across the lonely desert of the sky, one lone bird flies. On a garden where a lily blooms at night. The supper table blessed by evening grace and the sweet benediction of the rain upon my face. I often wonder who has set my task of learning what true joy is found at last. Perhaps it's that. God bless you.
Thank you, Jimmy. I was asked at the last moment to MC this meeting, and I do have a small price for doing that. I'd like to have the opportunity to say a few words. Can you hear me out there? Yeah, it amazes me when we have the opportunity to get together like this, and I look out at a room like this at you people and realize how many of you, you know, I've come to know in the time that I've been on the program. I still have a lot of fond memories from our last convention, and this anniversary dinner here will probably see me through one day at a time until our next convention. I hope that I might see all of you at our next NA convention. I'd like to ask Jack W. if he'd come forward, please. I'd like to amend that. I'd like to ask Sally if she'd like to.
Well, Clark forgot my name at the last convention when he went to introduce me, and Cliff just called me Jack W., but I guess it's all right. I'm Sally. I'm an addict and an alcoholic. You know, it's really a fantastic thing to be at this thing tonight and to listen to Jimmy and to see all of the people here. When I first came here, there was something like 3 or 4 meetings a week, and I knew everybody on the program, and I knew everybody that had any time, and now I go to a meeting, especially up in the LA area, and I hear people talking for 4 and 5 years, and I think, wow, I don't even know them. And I look around, and I don't even know half the people here. And I feel like I have grown up on this program, or that the program has grown with me. And it's really a beautiful thing. You know, like I came here like 6 years ago. And when I got here, I just really didn't realize. I had 2 conceptions of what it was going to be like to be clean and sober. And one of them was that it was going to be awful and really terrible, and that's how I felt most of the time. And the other one, it was going to be really, really wonderful and really fantastic and really far out all the time. And as I have grown, I've come to realize it's really good most of the time. And sometimes it's really fantastic and sometimes it's really, really bad. And when I talk a lot about the bad times because I don't identify at all when people get up here and they say that they have a lot of trouble handling success. Or handling the good times, because I don't, you know, I really don't. It's the bad times that I really, really have trouble with. And before I got here, I had various and sundry periods of sobriety and cleanliness, but as long as things were going my way, but as soon as things went bad, I used again. And so when I came here, I didn't know how to handle the bad times. And the program gave me a set of tools to work with those. And it gave me some people I could go to. And the first 3 years I was on this program, like I was really locked inside myself. I was really, really closed up. And so I worked the steps and I wrote inventories and I talked to people most of the time only when I really, really had to. And it's been really nice because the last 3 years that I've been on, my last 3 years, I have opened up a lot, and I can go to people and I can say, hey, this is the way I feel, and it's really bad. And it's really, really fantastic for me to be able to do that, because I never was before. You know, like I've been getting talked about being lonely, and being isolated and being alienated. That's how I felt all my life. And when I find out, when I really open up, everybody else feels that way too, you know? And it's really amazing. I feel that way sometimes. And it's really nice to have, to be able to share things with other people, or to be able to share the good times, and the good times are better because I can share them. And the bad times are not as bad because I have learned how to share them. When I haven't had any the strength or the hope or the courage to go on, other people have given me, I have borrowed strength and hope and faith from this program and from the people on it. I'm not going to take up a whole lot of time because I think Jack wants to talk, but and he can talk a lot longer than I can. He really can. But like I have a 6-year birthday coming up in about 3 weeks, and I look forward to like a lifetime of growth on this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. Yeah, it sure would be easy to fire off about a number 3 pitch right now. But at this time, I'd like to call Jack W. If you would, please.
Hi, my name is Jack Whaling. I'm a drug addict. What I really deserve right now is for, as I walk up here, for everybody to get up and walk outside. Because Chuck Skinner says it. He says that, thank goodness we get what we get on this program instead of what we deserve. There's only one person in the world who likes to talk more than I do, and that's my mom. At my 13th birthday, I was leading the meeting, and I was saying something had happened, you know, when I was using, and she jumped up out of the yard and says, no, it wasn't like that. And she started said, Mom, you can't talk. Oh, well, yeah, but I want to correct you. And she started walking up. I said, no, Mom, you can't talk. I like when Jimmy talking about families, introducing his son, because I had a short time in the program. My daughter, who was 19 Friday, she was 5 then, and I was going to a meeting, and I had just 6 or 7 months on the program. And she says, where are you going, Daddy? And I says, I'm going over to the clubhouse. She says, how come? I said, to see some friends of mine. And she thought about it a little while, and she says, Daddy, you used to never have any friends. And I said, you know why I go to these meetings? She says, I said, how come? Just to tell the truth. And I've been trying to do it, man, for 14 years, and it's been a bit. And I've only succeeded enough in just staying clean, that's all. I found out that being clean is the easiest part of this program. It really is. I would have liked to heard Cliff, too. Because Cliff gives a good talk, probably the dullest talk in Narcotics Anonymous. But I've never heard anybody who talks who covers more and tells you exactly what to do. He will completely identify you, completely tell you what to do in a very dull, monotone kind of way. But after you hear Cliff, you know exactly what to do. And I say a lot of words. And, you know, really, there's two kinds of people in this program. It's just like I learned in the poli-sci class. There's two kinds of leaders. A symbolic leader and an administrative leader. Now, an administrative leader is like Bob Barrett and Cliff and a whole lot of people who really work hard, and Ralph, who really work hard on the program, who really get the things done, who keep the program going. If there would be no program before, if it weren't for people like that. And then there's the symbolic people who come around with hearts and flowers and say, it's wonderful, it's great, and do this and do that and work the steps. It's kind of like the King of England and the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister does all the work, but the King gets all the glory. Well, you see, I kind of like being the king. You're just kind of an empty-headed dude who just, all I have to do is stay sober and buy a new suit about every 4 or 5 years. I don't have to do anything else. You know, I don't have to pick up coffee cups. I don't have to quit chairs around or fight with a cook here or tell the band to quit rehearsing and all that. All I have to do is just show up, you know, and say, my name is Jack Whaley, and I used to use heroin and morphine, and used to drink 8K, and used to drop a lot of pills, and used to be scared all the time. And now I come here, and I'm just wonderful. I come to the program, and I walk in the door, and the skies burst open, and I saw these 12 golden steps coming down from heaven. And I've been walking up them, a step at a time, for 14 years. And it's been grand, folks. Come and join my hand. That sounds like some of the shit that Bill Walton talked about. he was great with those phrases. You know, I read the big book now, and I believe it. It's all true, but it's so corny I can't believe it. I mean, it was really corny when I read it. And it's even worse now. You know, as we trudge the road of happy destiny. I always said I was trucking down the road of life, feeling like a piece of shit. We feel like we're on the broad highway. Yeah, Bill Wilson could sure turn some phrases. If you don't know that Narcotics Anonymous is good, then you're really some kind of trick to send 1250 and come here tonight. If you don't know it already. So I was going to get up here and tell you that Narcotics Anonymous is really neat. It's really good. But hell, if you don't know this, and you spent that kind of money and got all dressed up, Christ, even let Mexicans in here tonight. I thought this was a high-class place. Oh, well, what the hell. Richard's all right. Mason's got a good-looking girlfriend. Yeah. Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I went to Narcotics Anonymous when I first started staying sober. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous first. And I would go out there, and there would be three people out of Moore Park. There'd be Jimmy Kennan, and there'd be two loaded dope fiends. And he'd be telling them, it's all right, you're going to make it. And next week, there'd be two more. And he'd be telling the same thing. And you know, I went to Narcotics Anonymous for a long time, not to get anything, but to carry the message. Ego. Fantastic ego. People would say, why are you going where those NA meetings? I said, well, they need me there because it's really weak. But I got to find out it was true. They really did need me. Somebody told me, Myrtle Snyder, told me that when you walk in that door and you sit down in a chair in a meeting, that from then on, that's your chair. Doesn't make any difference if you go out and get loaded. That's still your chair. Nobody can fill it. Nobody can take the place of Karen or Danny Trejo or Sarah. Nobody can take the place of any of you people. We're all here, man. You know, I mean, I have to believe this. I have to believe that we're really all here because we're supposed to be here. Because I see people who never get an opportunity to ever try this program. Even to come. I see people who come here and they don't stay here long enough to listen. People say, how come you talk so loud? I tell them, because I want people to hear me. Because I come and I couldn't hear. I had this thing going on in my head all the time. You know, the thing I had ever since I was a little kid. Saying, you're a fuck-up. You know, all the time, you're a fuck-up. Saying, you're no good. Saying, you're rotten. Saying, God, I'm scared. Saying, you know, I'm ugly, and I'm skinny, and I'm funny, and I'm weird. And I come to this beautiful program, you people told me the same thing. And after 14 years, I've come to believe all these things. And I know them to be true now. And I love it. Because I really do. You see, because I'd rather stand up here and have you people 12 steps me. Jimmy really said it, man. You people are 12 steps to me. I have to have you people to stay sober. I mean, you know, if they pass a new tradition in Narcotics Anonymous and said, nobody will listen to Jack Whaley anymore. He can go to meetings, but he can't talk. You know, it'd be all over. It really would. Hey. I truly believe that if you get up, man, and you show your ass, and you get up and you commit yourself, and you say, my name is Joe Blow, and I got a problem, that you got a better chance than if you hide in the back of the room. because I think most of us hid all our life. I know I hid all my life. You know, I know why we didn't, but you know, I feel bad about not hearing the steps read. I know why we didn't. You see, I feel bad about this. I've gone to a lot of meetings. I've gone to meetings all over the United States. And they usually don't read meetings. I like to hear the steps read. You see, I like the steps. Yeah, you know, I'm an atheist. Yeah, that's right, you know. But I like the steps, because I work the steps. Because I've said many times, I can turn that electricity, that switch on and off, and I don't have to believe in electricity. It still goes on and off. Power is still there. So I like the steps. I like remembering that I'm powerless over my addiction. My life is unmanageable. But I had to come to believe, you know, a power greater than me can restore me to sanity. And I had to turn my life and will over to a power greater than myself. And that's damn hard to do when you don't believe in anything. It still is. And man, you know, I like to remember about writing inventory. I keep on trading with Bob Barrett that his inventory looks just like mine. I can't understand it, you know. Like he's old and ugly and I'm dashing and debonair, but our inventory looks the same. And the sixth step is a bitch, you know. It really is. Becoming ready to get rid of, you know, character defects. I like most of mine. I really do. They have become entrenched within me. I really like them. Except when it hurts real bad. And I don't care if it hurts you. I mean, when it hurts me really bad. And making amends is a bitch. You know, it really is. You know, these steps don't get any easier as the years go by. They don't get easier. They're still a humbling process. And I believe this is the reason why, even though we have grown so big, it's hard for me to comprehend how big we have grown. That's the reason why people come to us, thousands come to us, and, you know, dozens stay. It's because the steps are so difficult. They really are, unless you have no other way to go. I mean, who wants to go tell somebody, I was bad, I was wrong, it wasn't your fault, it was my fault? Well, I even told my mom that. That was after 10 years. I had on my 10-year birthday, she comes to a meeting, the first meeting she'd been to in the 10 years, and she says, you know, I think you're going to be all right now. I didn't give her much cause. Yeah, and we got a hell of a thing going. And all those pretty shirts that I wear, she makes them for me. We got a hell of a thing going. This disease that we have, if it be a disease, no matter what it is, you know, if you call it clip or clap, if you've got it, you've got it. This disease we have, this drug addiction, it doesn't just affect the person. It affects the person the worst, I believe, but it affects everybody around us. It hurts everybody around us. It destroys everybody around us. It's like a contagious thing. And you know what? So is this program. Because things radiate from us now. Good things. I mean, I got people that like me, not because I'm a miracle. You know, I am a miracle of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. I used to use a lot of drugs and go to jail and puke on my shoes. I'm a real miracle. But, you know, people like me just for me. They like me because, you know, I live in a town. And I have a little business. And I play a few sports. But they really like me because of you. Yeah? Because of you people sitting out there. Because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jimmy. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the people who come after Jimmy. I've got one more day today. You know, I decided not to give a big, great, big talk tonight because I just really feel good. And, you know, why fuck up a good thing? If it works, why fix it? I really feel good. But, you know, there's somebody here, and we got about 13, 14 minutes left, and I really would like to hear Chuck Skinner talk, you know, about 10 minutes or so. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Chuck, if you will, please.
I'm Chuck. I'm an addict, an alcoholic. I got Jack, getting better. 23 years. Pretty good. Progress is made. You know, we're not hiding down under a goddamn First Street bridge anymore. We're up top. Can you imagine 1250? 12, if we were 12 years ago, you couldn't have got 1250 out of the whole group, let alone out of this many people. That's really difficult. Look around, and you know, every once in a while I get discouraged and say, oh, hell, we're not making any progress. And then something like this comes up, and you know, you see it. And you see the workers, you know, like Jack and I know how to work. We get more credit for doing more things, and we do less than anybody on the program. Used to be the same way in AA. I used to be as a director, you know, I'd get everybody to do everything, and I'd take all the credit. I like that. But here, you know, over a period of time, we've gotten people who's coming in, and especially in the last 5 years, people who have gotten onto the program and into the program and who have carried the principles of the program into it, and you see the results. We've got over 100 and some people here tonight that paid $12.50 ahead, and by God, that's progress. I've always been grateful that I've got what I've got instead of having what I deserve. I'm still that way today. I think this program, for me anyhow, is the best deal in the world. When I was in the joint, I liked that 2-for-1 deal, and here I get 3-for-1, and I don't even have to ask for it. And I don't have some punk shortchanging me. No, it's just, I get 3-for-1 with no problem. Every once in a while, and I think this is the thing that we forget about it, is the gratitude. I like to remember what I used to be like, and that's why I go back into penitentiary. You know, every once in a while I get pissing and moaning about where I'm at today, and I like to remember the $3 a month I used to get up in San Quentin. And when I get feeling real bad about it, why, you know, I can be grateful again. That's why I like to go back to the penitentiary, just so I can remember that and remain grateful enough that I'll work the principles of this program enough to stay sober again one day at a time. And clean one day at a time. You know, it's been over 14 years since it's been necessary that I take a drink, take pills, smoke any jiggle grass, sniff any carbon tab, drink any athlete's foot lotion, you know, shove a suppository up my rear, or, you know, whatever. Go to jails or penitentiaries, and that's why I came here in the first place, because, man, I was burnt up. 37 years old, and that's old for dope being out on the street. And I can tell you this, if it hadn't been for the jails and penitentiaries, I wouldn't have been out there that long. I used to get a reprieve out every time I'd get a good run going while the man would have me in his pocket again. So I know I was never arrested. I was rescued many times. And come here and find a way that I don't have to go back into that anymore. There hasn't been any tears in my family over me in 14 years. You know? You're going to make some mistakes on this program, I can guarantee you that, if you're human. I've had many grave emotional mental disorders since I've been here, and they were all really involved with sex and money. Being emotionally immature, I fell in love with everybody I went to bed with. Jack and I know a guy who used to tell us that, you know, when you reach emotional maturity, is whenever you can go to bed with a girl and say, thank you, ma'am, and still be friends. Said after 14 years, I'm still so emotionally immature that I fall in love with my hand. You know, but I don't have to get drunk or loaded over. I didn't know it was Pat's birthday. I want to congratulate him on his year, and I want to thank Jack for letting me have this few minutes because I like to talk too. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.